Well, welcome back to our series on finding peace in an unpeaceful world. It's tempting to think about and dream about a time, sometime in the future, when you will finally be at peace, when your life will finally be in order and you won't have much to worry about. Personally, I dream about retirement. Even though I love you dearly, and I find great meaning in my work, I also have at least 12 more years to go, but still, I find myself thinking about what retirement would be like. I imagine how my days would go. I would wake up with the sunlight, not to an alarm. My morning would begin with a nice period of prayer, followed by a long, leisurely, hot breakfast with a strong cup of coffee as the sun begins to slowly rise and warm the earth around my small but cozy Palm Springs condominium. Yeah, it's a dream. Anyway, next on the agenda would be an invigorating workout in the mid-morning between like 10 and 12, and then followed by a relaxing lunch, you know, where I don't have to gulp down food before the next meeting begins. I would spend my afternoon scratching out a few pages of that crime novel I've been meaning to write for the last 20 years. And then in the evening, it would be some more prayer, and I'd watch the sun go down, and I would eat a dinner, and then I would take my dog, which I'm not allowed to have now, but will have then, on a long walk before bedtime at a reasonable hour. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? No more texts, emails, phone calls, no more demands to meet, no more issues to deal with, no more problems to fix, just peace. Maybe you dream of a time like that too. But you don't have to wait. You can have peace right now. True peace is not the absence of trouble or interruptions or worries. Peace comes from trusting God in the midst of the madness and messiness of everyday life, especially when things go wrong. So today I want to talk with you about finding peace in hard times when peace is hard to find. We all move through different seasons in life, right? Some are joyful, others are challenging, and even painful. And the problem is that when you're in those periods of pain, it becomes very hard to see any kind of bigger picture or what God might be doing through that pain. About 10 years ago, when I was in the seminary, I got a terrible toothache on a Friday night, a Friday afternoon, and I started asking around because I didn't have a dentist in the area, and I got a recommendation. I called his office that evening on the emergency line. I was told that he would see me first thing Monday morning. So I asked about the pain. Could I get some relief? They told me Tylenol would take care of it. They were wrong. Dead wrong. I was in severe pain all weekend. I couldn't focus on my prayers. I couldn't do my homework. I didn't spend time with my friends. All I did was sit in my room and think about getting to the dentist on Monday morning. That's what pain can do to us. It makes us nearsighted. It narrows our focus. When we're in pain, all we can think about is getting rid of the pain. Maybe some of you are going through some painful times right now, or someone you love. You know, maybe you're struggling with loss or loneliness, or a spouse that is no longer loving or caring as he used to be, or children or grandchildren who are going off the rails and you don't know how to help them and they're not listening to you, or an addiction that you're struggling with and you can't seem to break, or finances that just don't add up, or a boss who's overly demanding and callous, or a troubling diagnosis that you're worried about. Whatever it is, that kind of pain can make it hard to find peace. You're so focused on the hurt that it's hard to see the bigger picture, what God is doing through the pain to prepare you for something much greater down the line. I know that to be true in my own life, that God works through the pain to prepare you for something much greater in the future. About 15 years ago, when I first entered the seminary, I had a pretty bad case of homesickness. I really did. I got kind of depressed for several months. It was a serious case. I missed my old life. I missed my house and my friends and my daughter and even my stressful job. I missed having a normal life, right? And I had trouble getting used to living with 100 other men 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in a huge building that looks a lot like Downton Abbey. That's the seminary on the right and Downton Abbey on the left. It kind of looks similar, at least I think. But anyway, I kind of really had trouble getting used to that different way of life. And I missed backyard barbecues and leisurely weekends and Friday movie and game nights with friends and neighbors and other families. It was a whole different thing, a big change for me. And I was very, very homesick and sad. And I have to admit, I'm ashamed to admit, that during that period, I self-medicated. I self-medicated by binge-watching reruns of my favorite TV series at that time, Desperate Housewives. I know, don't get me started. Somehow I got hooked. But at least it was the original series and not those crazy spin-off reality shows. Anyway, the point is that I lost sight of the bigger picture. All I could think about was going back to my old life. I just wanted my old life back again. My focus was narrowed, and I could not see that God was actually preparing me through that pain for something much greater. To be his priest. In that hard period of adjustment, he was getting me ready to be his priest so that I could help others through their pain. But at the time, I didn't see it. It was only later when I looked back. The disciples of Jesus also had a hard time seeing the bigger picture. After Jesus was crucified, they had lost their leader and their friend and their teacher, and they were in deep distress. They were in serious pain. They were lost and lonely. They were worried and afraid. They hid behind locked doors. They didn't go out in public. Some even left the group. Judas, of course, had betrayed Jesus. Thomas, as we heard last week, doubted. He didn't believe. He went off on his own for a while. Two other disciples got out of Dodge. They fled from Jerusalem to a nearby village called Emmaus. They wanted to escape the pain and the danger of staying in Jerusalem. As they were walking to Emmaus, they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. The death of Jesus, then the reports that his tomb was found empty, stories that a few people had seen him alive again, but then the lost hope. Lost hope when others did not see him alive again. The two disciples were in pain. They were suffering. They had lost hope. They were in despair. They had lost faith. They could not even imagine how this God that they believed in so much could be bringing good out of that horrible experience of the crucifixion. They couldn't even think about that. They were so narrowly focused on the pain. Well, then a stranger comes, and he walks by their side, and he starts walking with them, accompanying them to Emmaus. He listens to what they're saying, and he tells them, speaks about the scriptures. And when it was evening time, he stayed, and he broke bread with them. And they suddenly recognized that the stranger was Jesus. And then he disappeared. And after he left, their hearts were burning. So they went back to Jerusalem. They rejoined the other disciples. They told them everything that had happened. And while they were still speaking about this, the gospel reading today tells us that Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Now you would think, wouldn't you, that when the Prince of Peace stood before the disciples, offering his peace to them, that all would be well in their hearts again? That they wouldn't be grieving or worrying anymore. They would be at peace. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. The gospel passage goes on to say that they were startled and terrified because they thought they were seeing a ghost. They didn't know what was going on. They couldn't see the big picture. That's why they were not at peace. So to prove that he wasn't a ghost, Jesus showed them the wounds of his crucifixion. He invited them to touch his scars. But still they were not at peace. The passage says that they were incredulous for joy. That means they wanted to be joyful, but they couldn't because they were slow of heart to believe. They were slow of heart to believe. So Jesus tried again. He asked for food and ate a piece of fish, baked fish, right in front of them, a third demonstration of his bodily resurrection. But it wasn't until Jesus took the next step that there was really a breakthrough with the disciples. Here's what he did. He opened their minds to the meaning of the scriptures. He opened their minds to the meaning so they would understand the scriptures. That's what it took. Jesus explained to them about how the prophets of old had predicted everything that had happened. How the prophets foretold that the Messiah would have to suffer and die, but then rise again. Jesus himself had told the disciples this at least 3 times long before his crucifixion, but it didn't click in their brain. It didn't stick in their hearts. They didn't understand, so they weren't at peace. But now they were beginning to understand because they were beginning to see the bigger picture through the truth of the scriptures. And then, in a passage that comes after this one, Jesus led them out to a village about 2 miles away called Bethany. And there he ascended into heaven, back into heaven. And we'll talk about that in a few weeks. But at that moment, the disciples finally understood everything. They saw the big picture. They understood what God was doing through the pain of the crucifixion. And the passage says they went back to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were in the temple continually praising God. They finally understood what was going on. They no longer were they doubting, no longer were they incredulous, no longer were they afraid. They finally had joy because they finally had peace, and they finally had peace because they knew the truth. They saw what God was doing. And they were able to understand the big picture, even in the midst of that pain. In this world, you will have trouble. In your life, you will have trouble. There will be times when you will doubt. You will be slow of heart to believe. You will not understand why good things happen to you or to the why bad things happen to you or the good people that you care about and love. You will wonder why doors you want to go through aren't opening for you. And you will not be at peace if you stay in that mindset. A few years into my career as a lawyer, I knew it wasn't a good fit. Eventually, a partner in the law firm I worked for told me as much. He said, "Roger, you do good work, you're a hard worker, but you're missing the one most important thing you need for success as a litigator." I said, "What is it?" So he told me. He was a southern gentleman, so he put it this way. "Raja, you just don't have a litigator's swagger." He meant that I didn't act like a litigator. I didn't walk like a litigator. I didn't talk like a litigator. I didn't carry myself as a litigator. I took it as a compliment. So, just kidding, litigators. I took it as a compliment, so I started looking for another career. And deep down, I had known for years that God had wanted me to be a priest, but that wasn't my plan. So it wasn't my plan then either. So I started thinking, you know, I think you'd be a good teacher, Roger. I was qualified. I had the right qualifications and the degrees to be a teacher. So I started applying in colleges and universities everywhere, all around the country. I applied in Catholic high schools as well. I cast the net far and wide. I didn't limit myself. All kinds of cities everywhere in the United States. I did not get a single bite. Not one interview. Not even a return telephone call. I felt completely locked out. And it was scary and painful. I wondered how I was going to make a living, what my future would look like. what was going to happen. Again, I was not seeing the bigger picture, that God was closing that door because he was opening another door for something much greater for me, at least for me, for something much greater, more greater than I could even begin to imagine, to be his priest. I finally understood that he really, really wanted me to be his priest. And when I got it, when I saw the bigger picture and why I was going through that pain, then I was at peace. If you're confused about life, if you're worried about the future, if you're anxious about challenges that you face, if questions arise in your heart as they did for the disciples, I invite you to take a step back. Don't stay in that mindset. You won't have peace. Take a step back. Ask God for clarity. Seek understanding. Read the Bible. Ask him to open your minds to the meaning of the scriptures for you. Pray for wisdom. Share your heart with friends in faith. Talk to your small group if you're in one. They've got your back. That's the beauty of being in a small group. Take a step back and try to see the bigger picture. God is working in that pain, but you can't see it if you're so focused on that pain. God is leading you through it. He is a God who brings beauty out of ashes, victory out of defeat, peace out of storms. And when you grasp that and you're willing to understand that and believe that and trust in him and have faith even in those storms and continue to follow him and obey him, then you will have true and lasting peace. Would you pray with me a short prayer of blessing? May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen. Peace be with you.